Hello and welcome to episode 249 of Conversation Street. If you are tuning in today to find out all about our trip of Manchester... Sorry, you have to wait a little bit longer. This is just a normal episode. Normal-ish, apart from the fact that it's coming out on a Thursday. But we're going to be talking today about this week's Corrie's first, the 17th to the 19th of April. Those three episodes that have been on there. And we'll have a bit of news. And we'll have a bit of feedback.
To have a special midweek treat.
Exactly. And it also means that when we get to do our special trip to Manchester and Coronation Street Studios episode, it'll be episode 250, which is a lovely round number.
It's all part of our diabolical plan to make life even more difficult for ourselves when it comes to episode 500, because there's literally nowhere we can go from here.
I know, we're going to have to think of something pretty special, aren't we?
Okay.
Just spoiler alert, episode 250 should be quite good.
Should be,
because we did have an amazing time. We are having an amazing time because we're still in Manchester at the moment.
Yeah, we're recording this within sight of where these episodes were filmed.
Yeah. I could get up and look out the window and see the Coronation Street Studios.
That's amazing.
But I don't know whether the acoustics are a bit different today because we're in our Airbnb room. It's a little bit echoey. Plus, sounds like there's a bit of drilling going on outside every so often. Not at the moment, but if there's any loud drilling noises.
Just like in Southampton, they are building billions of flats the city, everywhere. Quite. All these people that want to live in tiny little boxes with no parking.
But I would move here in a heartbeat if I could.
Well,
I think
we need a garden, because I told you already today about my plans to plant some peonies.
I know Manchester is a nice place to live. Right, anyway, let's have a look at Corrie history this week. We got 55 years ago since Harry Hewitt bought a saloon car with the money he got from selling his racing greyhound.
What was the racing greyhound's name?
I don't remember. I haven't written it down. But we have talked about it in the podcast before. You got hold of a...
Is it not...
You got a greyhound and what?
It's not Betty's Hot Shot, is it?
No, that's a horse about 30 years later.
Same thing. Right, 40 years since Rita and Len got married.
Oh, happy anniversary, Rita and Len.
25 years since Mike and Alma got engaged.
Ah, happy engage-iversary.
Engage-iversary.
Mike and Alma.
We don't even know when we got engaged, do we?
Yes.
You do.
It was the year that I was doing my teacher training. It was the September that we did the teacher training.
Yeah, but what date?
Oh, I don't know about
exactly.
That.
Exactly, that's the point.
Details.
20 years since Don kidnapped Alma in his taxi and drove them into the River Irwell.
Which is just around here, the River Irwell. I always thought that he drove her into the canal, but it wasn't. It was to the river. But when we went down to... here's a little preview. We went to a canal yesterday, didn't we? We saw some one-legged geese... And we thought that they were being a Don Brennan tribute or something.
Don Brennan tribute act.
Exactly. And they were going to kidnap someone and jump into the river. No,
that's what geese
that's
do.
That's just silly.
No, it's right. What geese do all the time. They're hooligans.
We are going to crack straight on, because we probably want this to be a fairly short episode. But, you can't stop us blathering on sometimes.
No.
And then we're going to do so we better get a little street talk, yeah?
Yep, okay, yeah.
Okay, so street talk this week. Three episodes to cover, but there's
so much
shocks
stuff
and surprises if you didn't look at spoilers.
There's no point in
paparazzi pictures.
There's no point in watching Fridays. They can't do anything more exciting.
Well, I wonder what's going on with all these shocks this week. Is there going to be something amazing that happens on Friday that we don't know about? Because we had the Shona secret revealed on Monday. We had the shock return of Rob Donovan on last night's episode. What are they going to do on Friday?
I don't know, but you're going to have to wait a long time to watch it.
I know, we're not even going to be able to watch Friday's episode until Monday, because like we said before...
Yeah, but I don't even know if we're going to have time to watch Friday, because that's going to be four episodes, and I've got work to do.
Oh my gosh, yeah, Gemma's going away for the weekend. We're getting back from back to Southampton at when? Friday night at 9 o'clock or so, and then you're being whisked right away for your weekend away. So yeah, can't even watch Friday's Corrie's or Doctor Who until Monday.
Oh no. You can watch Doctor Who without me, I don't mind.
Oh, thanks, darling. I wonder whether the timing of these big surprises has anything to do with the British Soap Awards, because they have the big shocks in Britain's Got Talent Week, which is also the week running up to the Soap Awards. But this week the Soap Award nominations have come out, where people can you got your public vote for best actor, best actress, best soap, and I wonder whether this has been timed in a way to try and make people think, oh, isn't Curry good, in the week when they can vote. That's my little conspiracy theory anyway.
Aren't they holding it a bit later than normal as well? Or is when is...
It's the third of Truth and Vicious Soap Awards, I think.
And how does that relate to Britain's Got Talent Week?
It's on the same week.
Oh, brilliant.
I think, or the week after. Well, no, I think it's the British Soap Awards.
What does
one week
Britain's Got Talent Week mean? What does that mean?
That is the week when it's the finals of Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, the finals. Well, they have it every day.
Every year.
No.
Oh, well, every day, yeah. Have you noticed when we've been doing the podcast?
No,
the
because I
years,
don't. I'm not
don't
interested.
Britain's Got Talent.
I haven't seen anybody from this country display any level of talent whatsoever.
And we've been to the Coronation Street set.
That's
go back
true.
On that. Go
That's
back on that. Right. So, what stories have we got this week, Gemma?
Right. We've got six storylines. Some of them shorter than others.
Definitely.
The first one. Well, there were two main ones, weren't there? Yes. There was show business one, and there's the Barlow Basher one. And
the show business being the one about Shona.
Yeah. All right, Michael. We get it.
And then, just checking.
And then we've got all the stuff to do with Kevin and Tyrone and Faye. Apparently.
That's not really related, but. I don't even know whether there's a storyline there. And Freddie, you get chucked into there.
Oh, yeah. And then we've got the heart attack one.
Which was a couple of scenes on Monday.
What's that to do with? Oh, yeah.
That was the cute cuddlies.
Yep. Then we've got Kiss the Chef, which is Michelle and
Robert.
And then we've got Braid and Groom.
Which is getting more exciting as well. I think it's. I hear it's going to go darker next week.
Oh, they're always saying it's going to go darker,
no,
and then nothing happens.
No, I think it is. And Lucy Fallon's been on. What was she on? Loose Women or the Rain or something? The other day.
On telly.
Right. So, show business storyline first, and hallelujah, the secret is out at last.
And it was impossible for people not to have guessed this because everybody guessed everything possible.
There's only a few things that her secret could have been.
And to be honest, I don't think that her being Clayton's mum was one of the first things we guessed. If they had revealed it pretty soon, it would have been a shock. But because they've left us going, well, what could it be then? What could it be then? It can't be this and it can't be that. It must be this. Or it could be that.
Yeah, and it's a shame because it is a really interesting development that because of how the relationship that was building between David and Shona and everything. But... Yeah, it's a shame that, like you said, they didn't reveal it earlier. Because it wasn't a like, oh my gosh, it's like, yeah, we called it.
I also don't know if I buy the fact that she's mad at David and this grudge she's got against David.
What, for trying to blow up her son?
Yeah. We'll talk about it when we get to it. I'm just not... The way she's acting, it's like how you would act if somebody, like... smashed your favourite cup and then told you they didn't care. You know what I mean? If I had a son and somebody tried to kill him, they would know I knew immediately and they would know how I felt about it immediately.
Mm.
Anyway, talk about it.
Yeah, okay, right. So
Monday, last week, David gave Anna his inheritance from David's mum.
Minus chip money.
Doggy David's mum. and Gary's still not happy about the fact that she got... She only got £19,000 and really she deserves so much more because she's such a fabulous woman.
I was kind of a bit worried at the beginning of the week we might just see a load of Gary going on to David, but we didn't. Luckily, we got it out of the way pretty quickly.
Has he decided that's it now? He's just going to complain about it, but that's it?
I don't know. He just took a back seat, didn't he? I'm sure he'll have a good moan later on, but Shona did take the limelight away from him this week a little bit.
Good.
Now, did you enjoy the Doggy David scenes this week,
Gemma? I do like Doggy David and his cute little fringe. I want to love him forever and carry him around.
He is pretty adorable.
He's the best one.
You know, I'm not a dog person. I don't even usually like that sort of dog. I don't think. But he has he's been incredibly cute this week.
I'm really excited about how many pets are on the show now.
Where's the cats?
We've got Boo, Peanut, and now David.
Okay. And Eccles, of course.
Eccles is still around. But I'm glad they've got more pets on the show. And
it's nice.
I was kind of... When Peanut came on, I was like, oh my God, we've also got Rover as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course.
I was like, oh, I love Peanut. I can't wait to see all the cute scenes that Peanut's going to be in. No, there hasn't been hardly anything.
No, he's barely been in it. Well, that's like been with me and the cat, isn't it?
Yeah, but Doggy Dave has almost better than normal Dave.
He does little tricks and everything, doesn't
he? He's so cute, and he's got such an adorable little fringe.
Well, that scene...
And he's so tiny. I want you to see if you're allergic to Yorkshire Terriers.
That scene yesterday when he was getting the chip off of David on the sofa. I want to know how much of it was improvised as well. Was he trained to be cute like that and
It comes naturally to dogs to be adorable. Especially cute little ones like Dave, the dog.
I can't imagine David keeping him. I don't know why.
I can, because it would be funny.
He kind of started off being a bit like, what am I doing with this dog? I'm a bit standoffish towards him. And like, look, I've been landed with this little rat kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think that his icy heart is melting.
Well, the thing is, if you live in a house with lots of other people, having a dog's not as much of hard work, you would think. Because you can be like, oh, you take him for a walk or...
Yeah.
If you're by yourself and you've got to feed him and walk him and everything, it's too much of a commitment for one person.
Hmm. I'll tell you what, I hope that Shona doesn't just go and blow up Doggy David.
But that, I mean, obviously, it's a commitment for somebody who doesn't want a dog, not... Because obviously, people live by themselves and have dogs all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
His heart will be melted, just like yours would be if we had a dog.
Mm-mm,
I think we should get one. We should call him Dave.
In tribute.
Even if it's a girl.
Davina.
Yes, Davina the dog! That would be so cute!
Look, we're going off track a little bit here. A little bit off track.
Oh, I want a tiny
So
Yorkshire
Shona
Terrier.
Ends up getting...
Do you like the fact that he's a Yorkshire Terrier as well?
Northern.
Yeah.
I suppose so. That's more Emmerdale though, isn't it, Yorkshire?
Yeah, but it's... No- oh, right.
So Shona ends up having to take Doggy David home because we had this Mrs. Kitchen in the salon on Friday, and she was a bit fed up with David spending all his time looking after his dog or something. So Shona has to go home, or she offers to take him home. Now, I enjoyed Mrs. Kitchen this week. It came a bit out of the blue, didn't it, having somebody who screamed silent extra opening her mouth and being a bit of a battle axe this week. What did you think?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't remember much about Monday's episodes, do you?
I remember.
You're a little bit tired.
You
don't what?
Go on.
I was just going to say about Mrs. Kitchen. We saw her on Wednesday as well, didn't we? When she was getting the flowers, the wreath for her dead husband, and I was just sort of surprised to see her again. So I don't know what's going on with that, but I wouldn't mind having a regular background battle axe. And I thought she was good. She's been in Corrie a few times before. There was an article on the Coronation Street blog this week about first time she was in Coronation Street was back when they had the lorry crash into the Rovers back in the late 70s, and Deirdre was doing her screaming, and this actress came and comforted her or whatever, and she's been in that a few times since. But yeah, I'll happily see her again. Anyway, so Shona goes back in, goes back to David's house, and she does a little snoop, doesn't she? Moons over the family photos.
This is weird. I think this is weird.
Why?
Because she didn't want anything to do with the Platts because of the connection that she's got, and now she seems to have decided that she quite likes.
Well, she's kind of got close to them because she's friends with Gail, isn't she? And she was having a look at the family photos, just like, oh look, here's Kylie, and obviously we know why now. It was. I did think it was a bit weird how she decides to go upstairs, and I think she just fancied a snoop. She had a little bit of a cheeky grin and rushed up the stairs.
Maybe, oh, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so while she's up there, Sarah and Gail come in and decide to have a very private conversation, right where she can hear them. They start talking about David wanting to blow up Clayton's prison van.
Yes. Why did they talk? Oh, they were talking about that because of the whole Anna thing, wasn't it? I can't believe that David's given Anna that money, and it all comes out from then. And Shona then comes downstairs, explains what she's doing there. I don't know what her excuses for being upstairs particularly.
Well, she flushed the toilet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she said she went to the loo, didn't she?
I don't know if she actually went to the loo or not, but anyway.
Was that her cheeky grin that she gave?
Oh, any do we?
Okay, exciting. Oh, I love going in someone else's house.
Yeah, maybe she's got like a thing where she goes in people's houses and they're not around. She did seem like she used to be a bit more of a scallywag than she's pretending
to be. Is that what scallywags do?
Yes.
Anyway.
Instead of doing the normal soap thing and not telling them that she knows what they've said, she comes down and says, I heard everything you said.
Which is good.
Yep.
Moving it along.
And they're like, please don't tell anybody, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's another scene there where Mrs. Kitchen in the salon, and she's telling David that she can see that they like each other.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
David's like, shut up.
Yeah, because the whole thing is almost hopefully going to lay to rest the rumours of David and Shona maybe getting together, because ever since she came in at Christmas, people are like, oh, is this a new love interest for David, or is it too soon after Kylie and everything? And obviously this Mrs. Kitchen has been able to see it as well, but what do you think now this whole revelation has come out? Is there a chance of David and Shona to get together?
I thought Shona was a bit too old for David.
I think they're about the same.
Really?
I can't remember how old they're supposed to be now, because I know that Julia is a slightly different age than Shona is, because they've had to change their ages a bit so that it's possible that she can be Clayton's mum, basically. But no, I think they're within the right kind of bracket. But I think it would be...
She just seems a lot... The thing is, the reason I say that is because David is very immature, I think.
Yeah, okay. I just don't think he'd want to get in a situation where his wife's murderer could end up being his stepson.
But it is a soap,
so who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, back at the Platts, Sarah kind of lets herself out and Gail does her best to explain David's actions to Shona regarding blowing up. She doesn't know it's her son yet, of course, blowing up Clayton. And Shona's like, well, I'm going to tell Anna exactly what David was doing when he caused that accident. And you wait and see. And Caleb Gale's like, no, you can't tell Anna about this. Because I couldn't remember what people knew about the whole David doing his car crash situation. I can't remember. Obviously, it turns out that he hadn't been saying, I'm going to go and kill Clayton. But I couldn't remember that. But that'd just make Anna even madder.
I've forgotten what happened.
With what?
What?
When
when he was going off to kill Clayton, though, he wasn't anywhere near.
No, he had his car full of petrol, didn't he?
But what?
And I don't know whether he must have just said, well, I had a car full of petrol and it was an accident. I don't remember
why he was driving so recklessly that he managed to smash into so many things.
Oh, he's just mad, wasn't he? I don't know. The time, he'd just been locked up underneath the bistro for like 24 hours. Okay. So no wonder it was a bit...
Well, then, yeah, I mean, they're not giving the full story of what went on themselves, are they, Gail and Sarah?
Yeah. Maybe if Shona realises, he had him locked up against his will.
He was like dehydrated and disorientated.
He wasn't dehydrated. He was in the bistro cellar. He probably got himself nicely.
He was probably really drunk. Anyway.
He did swear before the watershed, didn't he? So he must have had a few.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Naughty. Right, so yeah.
Shona storms off.
She says, I'm going to tell Anna. And Gail's like, oh, you would, if you had kids, you would understand. And Shona's like, So speaking of kids, it reminds her that she's got one. So she goes to prison and we see Kate in there and she meets up with him and it's his mum.
What a surprise.
Wow.
Not really.
Not really.
There were lots of people that were shocked online. This is the problem with us being, like, so...
I said this before.
Having all these people contacting us with their ideas.
Well, also, because we probably think about
Coronation Street
a lot more than anyone else does. We sit here for 2 hours, 2-3 hours a week, talking about it. Mm. But we also talk about it after the show to decide what we think about
it. Yeah, and we chat about it online with people as well, like via Twitter and everything. So I'm sure there were a good handful of people that had no idea and never even would have guessed that Clayton was her son. But
well, also, they probably forget because it's been so long since she's done anything mysterious.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting Clayton to be in it. That was a nice surprise, because we obviously knew that there was prison-y things going to be happening then because of Seb and Faye and Phelan going to visit Seb. But when Clayton came in, for a moment I thought, oh, Seb looks a bit different. Oh, no, it's Clayton, of course.
Wally.
Yeah, but it's a nice little mystery, but one that we called a bit too soon. We get to then, over the next few scenes, get to find out a little bit about what's going on between them. And we basically get the picture that she was a bit of a bad mum. She had him when she was very young, obviously. People have said, so does that mean that Nathan could be the father, or was she involved in some kind of underage sex ring, and this is what where Clayton came from? I don't know whether it's going to be Nathan necessarily. I think that he's not old enough to.
To what?
To old have been to an old paedophile when Clayton was conceived.
Oh.
But it could have been the whole sex ring kind of situation. That's possible, I suppose. But I don't think that Nathan's going to end up being Clayton's dad. And also, she says about the fact that he was a nice enough boy, didn't she? Until she let the dad into his life. He then went and lived with his dad and
Macca. I really still do think that it's Nathan.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think that Nathan's a bit too suave. I know that he, you know what I mean? He's not like a dodgy chav, is he? And
yeah, but
Macca doesn't
change though, because Nathan's at the top of his game at the moment. You don't know what his journey to get to where he is was like.
Mm.
Like, and like young, like laddie, like chavvy lads like that do mature into older, you know, they can't just carry on being like.
Yeah, I just don't think he's old enough. Also, how old's Macca supposed to be? I don't know. Because
I don't know. How old is all, everyone's age?
He's got a beard and everything. He must be old. I don't think that Nathan's old enough to be Macca's dad. And they did say that.
Are they not half brothers?
Yeah, there's the dad, whoever that is, and Macca, and then Macca and Clayton are half brothers via whoever this dad is.
Okay.
So I don't think it could work, but it could all be through the whole the ring, as it said, possibly. But anyway,
when you die, you see the ring.
he goes downhill, and becomes right scally after going to live with Macca and this mysterious dad, and he's obviously not interested in having anything to do with his mum anymore. He gets up, leaves, and interestingly, Phelan is there at a nearby table because he's there with Faye visiting Seb. And we forgot momentarily that they lived together, didn't we? It was like, do they know each other? Oh, yes, of course, they actually live
they're
in the
live
same,
in the same
live
house.
In the same house together. But, you know, everyone lives at Eileen's house, so it's easy to forget these little details.
They need to start moving people out of bloody Eileen's house.
So that's quite interesting. That I'd love it if Phelan got involved with the Platt story. Because that's like the ultimate two storylines that we enjoy, the families that we love, having a combined story. That could be quite explosive, and I wouldn't want to be in Phelan's pocket if I was Shona. But anyway, that's not to come until Wednesday's episode, because at the end of Monday's, well, almost the end, Shona goes back to Gail, and then it all kind of spills out about her being Clayton's mum, and she just basically opens up about everything and tells her about the history and stuff that we've just said, really. So they come to an agreement at the end of the episode that Shona won't tell anyone about David trying to blow up Clayton if Gail keeps quiet about her being Clayton's mum. So they come to this kind of bit of an agreement about let's keep each other's secrets.
Well, the thing is, it's obviously going to come out that she's Clayton's mum. So is she then going to do the dirty on David and say what she knows? Because
I mean, it's kind of obvious that David's going to find out at some point, isn't it?
Yeah, and
you can't keep
like
a secret on a soap anyway.
Because she's all like, I hate David, he's a monster. But then David's going to be like, you're a monster, you raised a murderer.
Mm.
I didn't actually go through with it. Nobody knows, really, whether he would have actually done it because he could have chickened out.
Yeah.
I thought he did chicken out anyway.
Well, he got caught up, didn't he? He got trapped in the bistro, and that changes you. Do you think that David deserves to know the truth about her being Clayton's mum?
What do you mean, deserves to know?
Like, should Gail tell him? Does she, if she's not locked up in this silly little secret, should Gail really tell him the truth? Or is she better off keeping it a secret from him?
I don't think he needs to know that she's the mum. I think it's a bad idea, but that it's all going to come out. There's no point in sort of trying to.
Well, and how do you think we're going to get to see more of David going off the rails and smashing things up and going after Shona? And I don't think he's the sort that's going to be level-headed about this revelation, is he?
But it's not like she was his mum on purpose.
See, I wonder whether.
They're both just going to have to say to each other, oh, I've changed since then.
Mm. He's not going to, like, try and romance her or anything, is he? Because...
Why would he romance her?
Well, no, just before knowing. And then...
Well,
like,
no, because she was being horrible to him.
Mm, yeah, that's basically what Wednesday was, wasn't it? We had Pat telling Shona that he saw her at the prison, but she's like, oh, I was just visiting my nephew. So that's... I don't know, he seemed to believe her, didn't he? But
then we had a weird scene where David the dog ran into Eileen's house and hid behind the TV, and Shona couldn't get him out because he kept barking. So she went to go and get David to come and get him out and coax him out. And he kept barking, so David was like, oh, give me a biscuit. And Shona's being all horrible and standoffish to him.
Yeah, David can't quite understand it, can he? Because he was trying to get his keys back off of her and doesn't understand why she had been quite nice to him.
Yeah, she's...
And suddenly...
He's probably just thinking, oh,
time of the month.
Women are weird. So anyway, he off-screen tells Gail that Shona is being horrible. And so Shona says to Gail... Gail goes up to Shona and says, look, why are you being like this? And she says, well, no, it's because Pat saw me at the prison. I don't know how long I can keep this up. I just want you and your family to just leave me alone.
Yeah. But obviously I'm still going to stay working on the street.
Just get yourself out of the situation, Shona.
I know.
You can't have the moral high ground and be bumming around there.
If I was in Shona's situation at the moment and I really wanted to keep away from this family, I wouldn't be working just a few doors down the road from them in a place where they both come and eat and drink regularly.
It makes
regularly.
You wonder, like, how much money she's been getting from working at Roy's, and, like, how much rent does she pay Eileen? Has she saved any money? Where did she... She was homeless, basically, wasn't she?
Well, she was with Nathan before. I think when we first met her, she'd literally just escaped Nathan. So she's come from that to, and like, the first job that comes along. So you can
no,
kind of...
no, Billy rescued her, didn't he, from being homeless?
Yeah, but I don't think she'd been homeless for long.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Nathan was still tracking her down, because he was at church when Billy rescued her, wasn't she?
Yeah, but, yeah, but what I'm saying is that, like, she's not got any... She's not come from anywhere... She can go back to.
No, exactly.
So she really should be saving money and trying to move out.
Mm. Maybe she, or she's saying to Gail, you give me a load of money,
yeah,
so that, and I will stay out of your life.
Yeah, that's what she should say, because look, I want to leave.
Bit of blackmail, isn't it?
Yeah, but it makes sense, because she'd be like, I want to leave because I need to get out of here for both of our sakes, but I can't because I don't have any money because I'm homeless.
Mm.
Give me some cash and you'll never see me again.
Yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen, because we've still got to have the whole her discovering that Bethany's Nathan is her Nathan as well kind of thing, and that's going to get her all tied up in the whole flat situation, unavoidable
The thing about
destiny.
Shona, I think, is quite interesting, is that she, since she was in the show, she's had a massive, like, character kind of whitewashing, because when she was first in the show, she was stealing things. And she was obviously a regular thief at this bar, because the barman knew who she was.
Mm, you don't get that about her at all now. She's just, like, kind of nice and mumsy. And
yeah, she is like what Anna thinks. She's like a nice person that everybody admires, and she's kind of a gentle soul.
She's done an extreme turning over a new leaf. Like you have, like, with Becky and Kylie or whatever, who come as a bit scallies, and
yeah,
gradually
I
over
don't...
the years they soften out. This has just happened just like that to Shona,
hasn't it? I don't buy it, to be honest. I don't mind them doing it. I just find it very implausible, because nobody is that much of a confident, cocky, in-your-face kind of, like... She was a bit like one of Fagin's little orphans at the beginning. She was very much like, I'm a thief and I enjoy doing it. And the only thing that stopped her in her tracks was the fact that she saw Kylie's photo.
Maybe it wasn't an I enjoy doing it. It's so difficult to know. We saw her stealing that wallet off of David, but I wonder whether it was just she's nice deep down, really, but desperate times led her to having to steal David's wallet.
No, she didn't just steal David's wallet. She stole everyone's wallet.
Okay, to stealing people's wallets, but she doesn't... Because she did say when she was raising Clayton, she tried her best as a mum, but she wasn't brilliant. So I kind of get the impression she's always been nice.
No, Michael, I'm sorry. You're not a nice person if you steal people's stuff.
Okay.
I'm really sorry. I know people go through hard times, and I know that I've never been in that situation, so I can't judge people. But I'm like, you have to have something about you she wasn't stealing things and then regretting stealing them immediately and doing it in a sneaky, like, I'm so ashamed of myself way. She was on the show and she was interesting immediately because they wrote her in, like, she was, like, flirting with him, and all along she was flirting with him so she could steal his wallet.
Mm. Okay.
She was enjoying herself in those scenes, being a little scallywag and stealing stuff, and the only thing that stopped her was the photo of Kylie.
Yeah, okay.
So she... If they're gonna pretend that never happened, that's fine with me. But nobody goes from cheerful thief to martyred mother in the space of like 4 months or however long it was.
I do like her as martyred mother though.
I prefer her.
I really want her to stay, and I think she's brilliant.
I prefer her how she is now. But this is what I said before about how the soap quite often will write a character one way before I think they know the actor very well. They write a character. Just as a character, and then as they get to know the actor or actress, they start to tweak the character a bit more to play to their strengths.
Mm.
And they do it all the time with all of the characters.
Yeah, no, I guess you're right.
How Eva was like a man, like a bunny boiling psychopath that tried to smash up Nick's car.
She was very different.
She would never do that now.
No. She's still a bit of a bunny boiler, and I think when it comes out about Aidan and Maria, we might see shades of that again. But that used to be what she was like when she came in.
All of them change all the time because it's the soap and they have to.
Mm-hmm. Right, anyway, so that's going to be quite exciting as that carries on later in the week, as is the Barlow Basher story, which has again taken this week. Well, every week there's been a little spotlight on, oh, maybe this is the person that pushed Ken. No, maybe it's this person. Here's some more evidence. And this week the spotlight was firmly on Tracy, wasn't it?
Yep.
Who, straight away, when that happened, we said, oh, it's not going to be Tracy. Tracy wasn't the one that did it. But through part of this week, I was still again thinking, oh, maybe it was. So she's been acting very suspicious this week with having a cough or pretending to have a cough and wanting to get antibiotics and things. I couldn't really put my finger on exactly what that was.
Yeah, because Adam was watching her reading up about them on the internet, antibiotics, and said, I need them because I've got a cold and stuff. Then they start talking about Denise, and Adam's like, oh, tell me more about it. And she tells him that she remembers Denise lived with a bloke called Brian Dunkley.
And this is real. Brian was a character in the show back in 1995.
It's all real.
He had, I've closed down the tab on the window now, but it was like 13 episodes that he was in it. And when Daniel was born and Denise was with Ken, then she had an affair with this Brian Dunkley, who was married to Denise's sister. And then they swanned off to Scotland together. And never seen or heard of again. But by the time Denise was in it again in 2007, for those few episodes, Brian was out of the picture by then. So it was a nice little callback anyway for the people that remembered. I didn't remember. I had to look up on Corrypedia. But anyway, Adam, this is Adam's little mission of the day, isn't it? To try and find out about Brian. And I can't remember whether Ken heard him talking about it on the phone or not, because he was in the cafe when he was talking about Brian. But Ken doesn't, I don't think, confront him about it. But he does say that I've got to go to a checkup today. I'm going to the medical centre. Adam tries to take him along there to kind of offer a bit of an olive branch. But Ken is like, no, don't trust you. I don't trust you or anything. So with Tracy's pretend cough, I'm glad that they resolved this on Wednesday, because I wasn't sure whether I kind of missed something or whether we were supposed to think she actually had a cough or what. But she's definitely faking it, wasn't she?
Naughty.
Because she wants to get the medicines for someone else. So she tries to get Rana to write her a prescription, and she says, sorry, love, it doesn't work like that. And then Luke comes over as well and offers her this this hot lemon drink, and tries to nurse her back to health. And Tracy has to keep putting it on. Again, she's being very evasive around Luke, and he doesn't understand why she's being like that around him. But he tries to do his best and say, yeah, I'll pick up Amy from the precinct if you need me to, and let's have a kiss before we go. But Tracy has another cough. And we know, of course, now that Rob is back in her life, which goes to explain, A, why she's being so shifty, and B, why she's kind of gone off Luke a bit. Because we always said and Tracy always said that Rob was kind of the perfect man for her, didn't we?
Yeah.
We loved Rob them as a couple before he turned murderer.
Guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Although it's interesting, because the last time we saw Rob, which was about a year and a half ago, when he was involved in the whole revelation about Johnny being Jenny's dad, he was stringing Tracy along completely there, making her think that they were in with a chance again. And then he basically is like, no, I've just been using you. You ruined my life. I don't want anything to do with you again. So I'm interested to know why she's now gone from being the scorned woman to being his little gopher to get the medicines and stuff. Has she forgiven him? Is he interested in getting back with her, or is he just using her again? Which it would be my inkling, I suppose.
I wonder whether he said to her, I just told you that to drive you away because I knew we couldn't be together, you know?
Yeah, and I think Tracy might believe him because she was really into him, wasn't she?
Well, it's plausible in Soapland too that you would push them away and...
Mm. I mean, they were going to get married, weren't they? So they obviously had something pretty special there. And,
well, they were the perfect couple.
I thought they were great. Definitely better than her and Robert, anyway. Anyway, so also that episode, Adam finds out that Tracy's alibi is false because Luke accidentally admits to him that they weren't together when she found Amy the night that Ken was attacked. So he now knows that Tracy is lying. So either he thinks that she did it, or... if Adam is actually the one that did it, he thinks, I've got something that I can pin on Tracy now. It's so interesting, like not knowing who... because one of these people knows that they did it and they were the one that pushed Ken.
So yeah, it's difficult to know. Or not.
Well, yeah, exactly. It would be interesting all along if they were all innocent and none of them are trying to pin it on the other one. They're just...
Would be interesting, but it would be annoying, you mean?
Yeah, well, a bit of both. Because obviously there's a possibility of it being Rob now as well, isn't there? Now he's thrown into the mix, but we'll come to that when we get there after Wednesday's stuff. So on Wednesday, Tracy gets this prescription from the medical centre, which she later gives to Rob, and she has the chat with Luke. He wants to know why she's been so jumpy recently. Why did she need an alibi on the night that Ken was pushed?
She doesn't really explain why she needed an alibi, though, does she?
Not really. So we're led to believe at that point it's just because she knows she was on her own, and if she had an alibi, then it'd be better for her, which is the same as Adam's, really, isn't it? We saw Adam getting on that bus the night that Ken was pushed, so we knew that he was on his own. And he just wanted to get Rosie to be an alibi so that the police would leave him alone, basically. But we know that Adam was more likely to be doing some dodgy stuff on that night than Tracy was, I suppose. Anyway, so he basically just dumps Tracy and says, I can't be dealing with all this. I know you're hiding something. You're not telling me what it was. Sorry, maybe we get back together once this is all blown over.
Is he going to go tell the police now that he wasn't with her?
No, I don't think he would do that. Because I don't know whether he does suspect her of actually being the one that pushed Ken. Because I wouldn't... Tracy was like, I wouldn't do that to my own dad. And that's what we said as well, wasn't it? I don't think Tracy would actually do this. And I think Luke probably believes her as well. He just can't quite put his finger on exactly what it is that she was doing. Now, what's this thing that happens about the worktops with Phelan?
Well, he's talking to Tracy about... she's arguing with him about having this double bill for two worktops when they only needed one. And Pat's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry about that, because one I fitted the night Ken was attacked, that was the wrong one, so I replaced it. And so I won't charge you for one of them, because you only need one. Right. That was a mistake. And Tracy's all like, oh yeah, whatever, trying to double charge us, typical. But Amy realises...
with this astute girl
somehow,
that she is.
That this means that if Adam's fingerprints are on the first worktop, it means he was lying about where he was on the night Ken was attacked.
Yeah, because Amy and Adam had this chat earlier on today, and Tracy thinks that Adam is trying to pin it on Tracy.
Yeah.
So now she's trying to pin it on Adam. And I think probably all along she must have suspected Adam a little bit, because she knew that he was going to go there to pick up the money.
Yeah, well, she's asked him a few times, hasn't she? Like, what were you doing? And, how come you haven't answered my calls? And
yeah, and she doesn't
and
want...
She also knows that he told her to delete all of their messages. Mm.
And she doesn't necessarily want to get him into trouble, because he'd been, like, the only one that cared about her leading up till up to Ken's pushing. And so she's... Yeah, she doesn't want to drop him in it, but I think now she's realising, hang on a minute, he's trying to drop Tracy in it here, trying to drop my mum in it.
Yeah,
I think that he probably did it, and I've been suspicious all along that he might have done it, because she knew that his alibi with Rosie was false. So she then goes and phones up DS McKinnon and tells her this thing about the worktop. So that means then that if the police can get hold of this original worktop, which has got Adam's fingerprints on...
Or maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, if it does, that means that he was in the house in between Pat fitting the worktop and it being replaced the next day or later, whenever it was that it was replaced. So...
The thing is...
Is he likely to still have this old worktop?
Yeah, has he still got it? Is it going to be... The thing is, isn't there such a thing as chain of custody? Where you've got to say who had access to this piece of evidence and how long it was allowed to be left, and does anyone have a motive to have made him get his fingerprints on it? And Adam could say, I had opportunity to touch it. You can't prove I didn't. And
I don't know.
What else is they going to say?
I don't know. What are you going to
say? I was going to say something else, but I can't remember what it was to do with how this piece of evidence could be.
I don't know.
I know what I was going to say now. What? The police could say to him, we've got this piece of evidence with your fingerprints on it, without him knowing whether that's true or not.
Mm.
Like, they could lie to him and say, oh, you were there, look at this, we've got this... You put your fingerprints all over it, you idiot.
Yeah.
And now you're in trouble.
Mm. Well, we'll have to wait and see.
The police, I don't know if they're allowed to lie. I assume they are.
I don't know how it works. So there was also this little family meeting with Peter and Adam and Daniel in the bistro, wasn't it? Which is where Adam was trying to say, I reckon it was Tracy that did it. And whether he really believes that, whether he was just trying to pin it on her, I don't know. But Daniel was staying quite quiet during that. And I still, in the back of my head, wonder whether it was actually him. Because there's
Daniel.
Not... Daniel. But there's still not been very much
suspicion. I did as well, when he
suspicion.
Was looking.
Yeah, like, Daniel could have been calculating, thinking, ah, this is what I want them
helpful.
To think.
How interesting.
I still... He is definitely my outsider. Like, that'd be a good twist if it turned out to be Daniel. Because if it turns out that it is Chloe, and I still think that's... fairly likely, although with Rob thrown in the mix now, I don't know. If it turns out that it is Chloe, I'll be like, oh, well, that's I knew that all along. But if it turns out to be Daniel, I think I'd be quite happy with that in a way. But I don't want it to be Daniel.
Yeah.
I don't want him to get in trouble. If it turns out to be Daniel and then Ken's like, I forgive you or whatever.
I don't mind if it's any of the people that are suspected. I think...
But we want them to stay in the programme, don't we?
Yeah, but I've already said before on the show that I think that any of them could get out of jail free card, you know, like, because Ken would be like, I forgive you.
Or, I don't forgive you, I'm not going to dob you into the police, but...
Never speak to me again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing.
So, anyway, the mystery at the end of the episode...
Because they didn't actually... kill him.
The mystery at the end of the episode about why Tracy was being so shifty is because deep in the heart of the gym is...
Who's that?
Rob.
Mm. Rob!
And now we had, sadly, this spoiled to us, didn't we? Before
yeah.
we watched it. We didn't watch this live. We were on our way back from... on the way back from dinner when this was on. And you looked on Twitter, didn't you? And you saw it on there, and you said, don't look on Twitter.
I don't
usually look on Twitter if we're late to watch an episode of Corrie, but I just happened to be browsing around the internet elsewhere, and then I saw on Digital Spy, I think. I was like, oh, blimmin' heck. And this is like 20 minutes before we watched it, and I was very annoyed that one was spoiled for me.
Yeah, I didn't even go on our Twitter. I went on my own Twitter, but I...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we knew that he was coming back because there had been some paparazzi shots of him and of Mark Bayliss and Kate Ford for an upcoming scene that they're going to do on location. And I suppose, like we were talking about in the Cabin Extra last week, or whenever it was, with another returning character, they really should avoid doing these location shoots with a character that hasn't been announced to be back in it.
Yep.
Because that would have been a mega shock. I would have never expected to see Rob again, apart from the fact that we already knew it. But it's another problem of us, like the Shona thing, being involved in the podcast and hearing all these theories and people write to us saying what they think, and we have to do this research for the news and everything. We're going to find out about these things.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Exactly. I'm sure there were lots of viewers there that
were shocked.
Mouths aghast when they saw that
mouths
it was Rob.
Mouths aghast? Don't you mean agape?
Yeah, exactly.
They were aghast, so their mouths were agape.
Yes, and probably a few people as well saying, who's that? Because it didn't... We only saw him a little bit at the end, didn't we? And he had a hoodie over him. He had blood over his nose and everything. But yeah, he's back. And they have dropped in hints over the last few weeks that he could be coming back as well. Because we kind of brushed it under the table a little bit. But weeks ago, when Tracy was called aside by the police officer on the week of Ken's attack, and she was like, well, I've said everything I need to the police, what's this? And they said, no, we need to speak to you about an unrelated incident. I think when we did the podcast then, we were like, hang on a minute, what was that about?
Then we
forgot about it. So that was obviously about that. So Tracy was told that Rob is on the loose there. And also Craig had said around the same time, oh, there's been a crash with a police van and a convict has escaped. And I think I read at the time a few people speculating that could be Rob as well. So they have dropped these hints in there, which is quite good. Although, it'll be interesting to see how they reference them now in the show. Like, they're not going to have a flashback to say, look, we showed you about this. But I suppose it was there if only we could have put two and two together, I suppose. Now, how do you think it happened? How long do you imagine that Rob's been hiding with Tracy? How long has she known about it?
How long has she been keeping him? When did the escape convict thing happen before?
No, I don't think it was the same night.
Why would Rob escape from prison and push Ken down the stairs?
So are we jumping to the conclusion that it's possibly him that did it now? I don't think he would have a motive for shoving Ken. But I think it could possibly be that he escaped from prison, went to number one to find Tracy. Like, this is the only place that I can think of to go. Although it's maybe not the safest place to go. If the last time he saw Tracy, he was rubbing it in her face that he's tricked her. He's a bit of a risky situation to go there, isn't it?
A little bit, but if you're desperate.
If you're desperate, he could have gone to number one, expecting and hoping to find Tracy and say, look, I'm on the lam, hide me. Bumps into Ken, then there's either a bit of a struggle or an accidental struggle. It could have been that my little theory that could be at the moment is that Rob was hiding out upstairs when Ken was going up the stairs, because we always wanted to know how could anybody get in front of Ken to push him. What if Rob was already hiding upstairs? The person that Ken hears coming in the back door when he's going up with the kettle was someone else. That could have been Adam, that could have been Daniel, whatever.
I think it could have been Sinead as well.
It could, yeah, exactly. He either Rob tries to escape or he pushes Ken for whatever reason. I don't know, but I'm kind of wondering whether it's that at the moment. Which could also mean, if that was true though, the person that Ken heard coming in, do they know about Rob? Because if they were down in the lounge or whatever, and they saw Rob pushing Ken down the stairs, they obviously are in and out as well. And I think the only person that knows about Rob at the moment is Tracy. So what's that Tracy trying to get in through the back now?
Well, maybe they pushed Ken or Ken fell, and then the person opened the door and saw Ken on the floor and just ran away.
I don't know. See, all right, okay.
Because there's lots of things we've forgotten have happened. Like,
I know.
Like, when on the day it happened, Daniel was mad at Sinead, wasn't he? And then he opened the book and he saw an inscription from Ken. And then he tried to phone Sinead and couldn't get hold of her and rushed off.
Mm.
And we don't know what that inscription was still that he read, or what was it in the book that prompted him
I can't remember
to rush away.
We saw that or not,
I don't think we've still found that out.
They've put so many clues in over the last 3 weeks that I think they've almost done it on purpose to confuse us and say, well, the clues were there all along.
And the other thing is, it's like there was stuff to do with... oh, I forgot what I was going to say now. There's been so many things where...
Mm. Okay, right.
We've just forgotten, like, we've got a bit of amnesia about it, you know?
Mm. Okay, so my current theory is Rob was already upstairs. Tracy was the one coming round the back, having a look for Amy. And maybe this is how Rob and Tracy came into contact.
No, because then Tracy would know that Rob had done it. And she doesn't know who did it. I don't think Tracy knows who did it.
Oh, yeah, she can't, can she? Because she wouldn't be looking after him and giving him antibiotics.
Because she's really mad and harbouring about him. The fact that this has happened to her dad.
Man. Yeah.
So, unless he just rushed off, maybe the person who's coming in the back couldn't get in through the back.
Mm.
And Ken just was like, who's that? And then they ran away before they even came
but
in the
Amy
door.
But Amy left the back door open. I don't think they would have not been able to get in.
Well, maybe they were in the... Maybe they were fiddling with the door and heard him come and ran away before he saw them.
I don't know.
And then he carried on going up the stairs and then got pushed by Rob. And then Rob sort of pushed past him to get away because Ken saw him.
Mm.
And then left immediately. And then Feeling came in.
Yeah. I don't know. Tracy obviously still is... We reckon now that the reason that she wants an alibi from Luke for that night is because she was with Rob. Do you reckon that that's her main reason now?
Oh, do you think so?
It could, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I can't... I'm at the time...
Oh, I remember what I was going to say now is that we've been... It's been proven to us time and time again that Corey is trying to mislead us on purpose about what people are doing and omitting things completely, which they never used to do.
No.
And so, in a sense, it's the show itself is like an unreliable narrator of what actually did happen that night, and everything's been pieced together in a very elusive way.
Yeah, it is. It's been great. I've so enjoyed it.
It is really good. It's like, well, you can't do this forever.
Yeah, but every so often.
It's like a whole new show.
Yeah. It could be as well, of course, that Rob is a complete red herring with this, and maybe Tracy was with Rob at the gym when Ken was attacked. And so, although he's now in the mix, he wasn't anything to do with pushing Ken. I think the fact that he's turned up now has been done on purpose to make people jump to the conclusion, oh, it must have been him that pushed him, to throw us off the scent of someone else, like, say, Daniel.
Well, you know, you can go round and round and round in circles, can't you? That's the thing.
And like, there's the whole thing, the big mystery still is this will that was changed that Tracy found.
Is it a real will?
Because if she was involved and made, you said that why would Tracy be harbouring Rob if she knew that he was the one that pushed him? Well, it still could have been that she found the will, opened it up, saw that she wasn't in it at all. And ever since that moment, she's been pretending to be concerned about Ken being attacked, when really she's been colluding with Rob all along. And when we saw her open the will with Adam, that was actually the second time that she'd opened it.
Yeah, it could all be... I don't think you're going to work it out from...
I don't think we can work it out so far. But this is why... Another reason why, if it's Chloe, after all this, it'll be even more disappointing, because she's been such a... an outlier, hasn't she? Like,
yeah, that's the thing.
All of this could be them. Is it him? Is it her? Is it her? Oh, it's Chloe all along. Oh, okay.
I mean, it works in Agatha Christie novels, but this show is not an Agatha Christie novel.
It wouldn't be a satisfying ending if it was Chloe. But I'd almost be happy with almost everyone else at this point. Even Rob.
What about Seb? No, the thing is. This is a massive test of whether Corey has learned from the whole Frank Foster thing.
Mm.
Not to deliberately lie. Omitting things and misleading are different from outright lying about who it is that's done it.
By which, are you talking about the fact that they released all these suspects?
And then it was actually...
It was Anne.
Now, it makes sense if it is Rob, because the police don't know that Rob is... got a link to Ken, really. Well, that he's there. As far as they're concerned, he could be anywhere.
Well, I think Craig said that the prisoner has escaped and is assumed dead.
How would that happen?
Well, because there was a big van crash and Rob looked like he'd been kind of scuffed up in the crash, didn't he, when we saw him last night?
If you can't find a body, you can't assume they're dead.
Mm.
Where would the body go?
Well, I think this is a slightly weak link in the whole thing, with nobody else really knowing that Robert's escaped. Craig knows it's a prisoner. Tracy's obviously been told that Rob escaped. But I struggle to believe that nobody else involved in this situation has been told or has found out that it's Rob. I mean, for one thing, it'd be all over the papers, wouldn't it?
But why? Yeah, but it depends on whether they're like... If the police think he's dead for some reason, which I don't really... I can't believe that they would do, but let's just suspend our disbelief and say the police think he's dead, even though they don't have a body, which doesn't make any sense. They're not going to release information about it because they might need to... Because Tracy got notified, yeah?
Mm.
They also have to notify his family.
Yeah.
When someone dies, the police always try to notify the family before they release it on the television.
Yeah, I can't remember.
So the news could be just, oh, a prisoner has escaped, but we think he's dead. We're not going to tell you what his name is until we've contacted all the... But then isn't Michelle...
Well, Carla would be told, wouldn't she? And then the word would make its way back up north. Michelle's vague... this is the whole Connor family tree, isn't it? Connor Donovan.
Family Bush.
Who knows... who's related to who, but I do find it a bit peculiar that Tracy is literally the only one in the whole of Weatherfield that knows that Rob's escaped from prison at the moment. But I'm very willing for them on Friday to explain that all away and saying why that happened. Anyway, jolly exciting. So I think we better move on to the next story, hadn't we?
Yeah.
So we've got the whole Kevin and Ty and Faye. So everything else we can tie up pretty quickly. So this story is all to do with Kevin and Tyrone once again becoming friends. After their little falling out that they keep having every now and again, they go and have a special lunch at the bistro with the family and reminisce about all the wonderful times they used to have together. Fizz does a little toast to the garage and everything. And basically, by the end of that, they have manly hugs and they're friends again. Hooray. Because Kevin is under the impression that Anna is going to save the day by giving him all the money that he needs for the garage. And I don't think that's been... really resolved. Brought up yet and resolved.
They'd be good if it be good if she didn't, but I really think that she will. She's dormant.
I mean, the money's supposed to be going. David gave her the money as compensation for burning her legs up, so really it should be hers if not David's. But yeah, maybe Kevin's jumping to conclusions a little bit, but like you said, it probably will be fine. We also had during that Faye. During the meal, Faye was looking very worried and distracted by her phone because she's been arranging to go to the prison to see Seb with Phelan. So we get a bit more sneaking around with Faye and Phelan, which I'm sure is going to blow right up where Hannah finds out what's been going on. And obviously we said earlier that Phelan was in prison when he saw Shona. I don't think we particularly learned anything more about Seb and Faye during this story, did we? It was literally an excuse to get Phelan into the prison at the same time Shona was there.
No, yeah.
They're basically, Faye and Seb are happy to see each other and they chat happily away and that's about it, really. And also on Wednesday, this is when we have this whole thing with Fizz's old mate Kim from when she was in care, who turns out to be a man. and Tyrone is jealous again. And I'm sure this is a storyline that they've done before with Tyrone being a jealous type. And Kim, here's a fact for you fact fans, is actually played by Paula Lane's husband.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that...
I told you
that,
before.
Yeah.
He's going to be in it tonight.
Yeah.
I didn't remind you when we were watching it.
No, because how would I have known?
Oh, exactly. I don't know whether he's going to be in it for long or whether it was just a little... I can just imagine it being a little mini storyline where Tyrone gets jealous, Fizz gets mad at him, Hopefully that she doesn't have a little fling with Kim, but she'll just get mad at Tyrone and then they'll make up again. I mean, I can see
it. Isn't it just going to be like Kim's an antique dealer and he's going to go rummaging in their garden and go, wow.
Yeah, it could be.
Didn't you, you've got the 1902 Harman & Gulch stove here that's worth £500,000.
It could be.
I'm sure that's what's going
to
happen.
I'm sure that there's going to be some kind of either Tyrone suspecting Fizz and Kim of having a thing together. I don't know whether they would. I think actually Fizz is a lot more loyal than Tyrone gives her credit for. But he's gonna accuse her and Kim of having an affair. She's gonna get mad, but then it's all gonna be resolved when Kim finds this, whatever, like you said, antique in their backyard. Then that's gonna solve all their money problems. That's about it. But it's nice to see him having a story, at least. Now, the Sally story, which was the main focus of last week, took a real backseat this week, didn't it? We had Rosie and Sophie rocking up in this scummy estate somewhere to try and find who Sally's troll is. They go to the headquarters of Cute Cuddlies, which is this horrible old house, and they meet up with a girl that lives there. I can't remember whether she was named or not, but she's not... not very amenable, is she? They accuse her of being the troll because don't they recognise her from Sally's talk last week? But anyway, she's saying, look, no, it's nothing to do with me, although the name Sally Metcalf does ring a bell. My mum's spoken about her or something?
My mum's sick and is in the clinic at the moment, but I'm going to ask her when she gets back.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's literally it.
Is this the person that we think it is? Is mom?
I think this is the person who we think it is.
So she's sick.
Yeah, I don't want to talk anymore because I know a lot more than. I don't know how much you know about it, but I don't want to say anymore. But I'm hoping that Friday might be when this all comes out. I mean, maybe we said at the beginning of the show this has been a week of shocks and surprises. I think Friday's episode potentially could be the revelation about who this troll is. But we'll have to wait and see for that one.
But it's interesting that this mum, is the troll, she's sick in a clinic.
She's in the clinic. I think she said she went to the clinic just to go and get some medicines or something.
But she's... Oh, okay. I kind of read it completely differently then. I thought she was, like, going through what Sally had gone through.
No, I don't think it's that. Let's not speculate.
Well, I'm just going to say, like, you can kind of... You could say, oh, how, if someone had breast cancer, why would they attack someone else who had it?
Mm.
But equally, if you hate somebody and you had cancer, you could kind of imagine, like, going, why isn't it them that have got this? Why do I have to have it? They should have it because they're a horrible person and I don't deserve this, they do, kind of thing.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out about that pretty soon. And then finally, oh no, not finally, we got our Michelle stuff. They've spent the night in bed again.
Why have you written me Shag?
Oh, I just wrote Miss Shag as the storyline title.
But it's not called that, it's called Rochelle. Mebert.
Anyway, they probably haven't even got out of bed all weekend, the dirty gits.
Disgusting. That sounds brilliant.
Nick's like having to defend hiring Michelle to Leanne. And Leanne, at the end of the episodes, tries to go over there and offer an olive branch to Michelle, but has it thrown right back in her face.
Yeah, smack her in the face with a branch.
Yeah. And there's also a few bits of blah, blah, blahing IVF with Toya and Leanne, isn't there?
And there's also Michelle, how genius she is at turning around the fortune of the bistro by coming up with stuff like, let's have a lunchtime menu.
What a business brain she is. She's going to get snapped right up by Alan Sugar, isn't she?
Yeah. She should go on The Apprentice.
That is another suspension of disbelief that they don't have a lunch menu
at
the bistro.
They did say, like, oh, I don't want to... Like, they did have a reason. I can't remember what it was for not having one, but then...
Yeah, that was a bit silly. And then we also had a little bit of the Bethany storyline, because she's been spending most of her time with Nathan now, and Sarah... she's not washed her hands of her, is she? But she doesn't want people to know that Bethany's left her, kind of. But she does tell Craig and says, look, she's spending all the time at the salon. go and see her, just check that she's okay. I think she'll like that. So Craig goes over there, and unfortunately for him, Nathan's there, who's very dismissive of him, and he like takes the blame on for himself, doesn't he? Like, oh, I'm sorry, yeah, she's been working really hard here at the moment. Oh, it's me. I've been the one that's keeping her away. So he's kind of making himself look bad,
mm-hmm.
But not obviously for the reasons why he is a big baddie, But he's like, yeah, sorry, it's fine. So Craig goes off, and immediately Nathan then calls him, like stalker alert. Calling the kettle black.
Keep your distance from him, because he obviously fancies you and he's a bit weird.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think that Bethany is at a stage now where she will believe anything that Nathan tells her.
Nathan's so great. I love him.
Yeah, and it's such a sneaky trick. They're writing Nathan so well, aren't they? Like, because... At the beginning of the storyline, you think, oh, why do girls do this? How do they get into their situation? How can they be so blind as to be tricked by people like this? But they're writing it so well in a way that you can see completely why Bethany would fall for his charms.
Hook, line and sinker.
Exactly, so good. So
she also ends up on Wednesday telling David, tell my mum I'm at a mate's house, but I'm actually off with Nathan. Bye.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen on Friday? Do you think something terrible?
I don't know. I have to wait and see. I have to wait until Monday or later to see. Right, and that was it for our semi-week. And I'm going to... I haven't even thought what I'm going to score out of again. Sometimes I think of it, but I don't. I'm going to give this... it was a good week, wasn't it?
3.5.
3.5 what?
3.5 David the Dog's Fringes.
Out of 5.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this one... I'm going to give this a 4. I'm going to give this 4 shocking revealed secrets out of 5.
No, that's too vague.
Okay, secret mums out of 5. Also, we didn't talk about the fact that Freddie just seemed to be definitely leaving as well. But
Freddie's
like
saying his long goodbyes, isn't he? Starting
him
off.
Yeah, which is it's sad to see him go. But we'll cover that more in next episode, I'm sure, when he actually does. And that is it. Very good week on Coronation Street, and it's only a half week. Right, now we have not got a middle section this week because you've still got episode 250 to look forward to. But there has been a bit of news, there has been a bit of feedback, so we're going to go and do that right now.
Yep. It's the cabin. News time. I'm just interested to know, the listeners... whether they hear us say a K or a C at the beginning of that word. Cabin, because K. It is a K.
It is.
Mm.
That's, we don't just call it coincidentally that they're
no, it is the cabin. So,
they've been very nice to us this week. They knew that we would be recording early, and so they have made some news.
Oh, that's nice.
In spite of it. Yeah. Just a couple of bits we got this week to talk about.
Both of them are amazing.
First one
no,
is
not really. The first one's boring.
No, it's not. No, Gemma finds it boring. I enjoy
officially
nominations.
Over awards.
Well, the British Soap Awards are on their way, we said it earlier, and if you want to vote in the best actor, best actress and best soap category, then you can point your browser at britishsoapawards.tv/vote and go and vote all things Corrie. So who have we got to choose from this week? Well, this year
this
even.
Week,
this year.
Best actor. William Roach, Jack P. Shepherd, Simon Gregson.
I find it very interesting that William Roach has got a nomination there.
He's going to win it, surely.
He's not going to win it.
Why?
William Roach? He's not going to win it. I'm really surprised he's got a nomination. I mean, we have said that he's been great in the last few weeks of the story,
yeah,
but I can't...
That's what I mean.
I don't think that over the past 12 months we've been saying, wow, William Roach has really pulled it out of the bag. He's the best actor they've got on Corrie. No.
Yeah, but a lot of these awards are like for everything you've done up until that point. Like when Hayao Miyazaki won the award for Spirited Away, the Oscar, it wasn't for Spirited Away, it was for all the stuff he'd already done.
I don't know. I would be incredibly surprised if William Roach won this, but I'm very happy that he's got a nomination because I think lots of people are a bit dismissive of him and think that he should have been put out to pasture a long time ago, and I've always liked Ken. And it's been great having him in the forefront recently, so good on him for getting that nomination. I mean, Jack P. Shepherd, he's a bit of a shoo-in for this. He always gets a nomination, but he never wins. And I really hope that this is the year that Jack's going to be walking away the best actor gong. Can't compare with other soaps because we don't watch any, but he's been criminally rewarded for his time on Coronation Street, hasn't he?
Yep. And then Simon Gregson, what can you say about him?
Yeah, standard. I mean, he's been great. He's a fan favourite. Yep. Maybe not so much as he used to be, I don't know.
He's not in it as much at the moment.
No, no. But, you know. I've already voted for this, by the way, and I voted...
Who did you vote for?
Well, who do you think I voted for?
Jack P. Shepherd.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to keep on voting for Jack P. Shepherd on these awards until he blimmin' wins one.
Wow.
Everybody, I implore you to do the same.
Best actress, we've got Jane Danson, Kim Marsh and Lucy Fallon.
I get a bit bored by this best actress nominations now because Jane Danson and Kim Marsh are always two out of three, aren't they, it seems? Every year, they whatever they've been doing on the show, they'll get nominated. And they are very good actresses, both of them, but our problem is we just don't like the characters. I think when you vote on these awards, quite often you're voting for the character and not the actor, aren't you?
And it also does show that that there are certain tiers of characters that the sort of the drama characters is what I think of them as.
Mm.
Like Jane Danson and Kim Marsh, who play the drama characters, are the least interesting ones to me. I prefer the comedy characters or like the caricature characters.
Yeah.
The ones that are a bit more like larger than life, like Jenny, for example, and Sally. Yeah. And unless they get given a drama storyline, those characters don't necessarily inhabit the same kind of soapy world as like Michelle and Leander.
I was quite surprised to see that Lucy Fallon was up for Best Actress, but pleasantly surprised because, I mean, she's caught up in a drama storyline, isn't she, at the moment? There's nothing wrong with her acting. I think she's been amazing that she's somebody so young has been able to take on this very difficult storyline. But I wouldn't say that she has absolutely wowed me with any particular scenes of acting in the same way that Kim Marsh did during the stillbirth scene. Really, I think
She hasn't had a chance yet.
But I mean, there's still stuff to come, I suppose, between now and when the awards are on the 3rd of June. But Kim Marsh, as much as I do not like the character of Michelle, I think she absolutely deserves to win this. And I think she's probably got the best shot because of all the stillbirth things.
Yeah, I think she will
she
as well.
She was blooming amazing.
Yeah, but it's not just between these three, is it?
I know. For out of Corrie. But I voted for Lucy on this.
Did you?
Yeah, and it's because I really like Bethany and I don't really like Leanne and Michelle. I was voting for the characters and not the actors. It's like
you're wrong.
I know that the best performance out of these three this year has been Kim Marsh, without question. But I couldn't bring myself to click on a picture of Michelle.
That's terrible.
Well, you can vote for Kim if you want
I don't agree with voting. I don't like popularity contests. It makes the little people like us feel bad about ourselves.
I bet Lucy must be over the moon to be nominated alongside those two. Isn't it the first time she's been
eligible for anything other than like Best Child Actor?
I can't remember how old she is now. It's all got
been
muddied,
she's definitely
it?
Old enough.
To get a grown-up award.
Yeah, good for you, Lucy Fallon.
Well done on her. I mean, I voted for her.
Let's leave that now. That's boring. Let's talk about it's the best soap we voted.
I think
we'll
vote for Coronation Street.
And it's going to be live on Saturday, 3rd of June at the Lowry.
Yes, which is just down the road from here as well.
Why don't we book another stay here and.
If anyone would like to fund us coming up to Manchester again at the beginning of June.
Well, it would cost like, I don't know, how much are tickets?
I can't remember. I don't know how much the tickets are to go to the British Soap Awards, whether it's like a free draw or whatever.
No, you've got to pay.
They do let members of the public in, don't they?
Yeah, you've got to pay. That's what I've got to say for myself. I think it'd be quite fun to go, but...
It cost us the cost of one night's
stay,
wouldn't it?
Oh, what are you blaring on about? No one cares about money, about our money things. Just shut up about it. So it doesn't matter.
No. But if you were living in the Manchester area... Then maybe you'd like to go along and you can report for us.
If you're living in the Manchester area or you know how Airbnb or hotels work, you can go.
It's possible. And the Lowry looks
buy
like...
Buy tickets.
And Gemma's just doing a little bit of research, so I'll just do a bit of ad lib while she's finding out things. Should be good. I don't know whether this year's going to be Coronation Street.
Why are there two shows, the evening and daytime?
I don't know, that's confusing. I don't know whether this year's going to be Corrie's year. It's been doing not so well in the awards recently. Emma Dale has been killing it, getting award after award after award, and we hear it's quite good at the moment, so maybe these are actually deserved.
But Corrie is definitely on the up, and I hope that they do a little bit better than they have done recently, and they get some recognition for the brilliant stories that there's been over the last 6 months or so since Kate Oates been in charge.
You ready for me to tell you?
I am ready. That's me ad-libbing finished.
You can have a seat in the stalls for £25 each plus £2.50 booking fee.
Is the stalls the only place?
I don't know, because the website is a bit crap. Well, it's not working well on this phone. I'd like to go, but I don't agree with it.
Why? You don't agree with it? What?
Yeah, I don't.
And if you had one, you would.
I would think they were great, but I'm not gonna lie and say I'm impartial. There's actually not that many left, and there's only...
Oh my gosh, I better decide quickly. Anyway, British Soap Awards. Good luck, Coronation Street. Gemma, do you want to do the next news story? Because this is your thing, isn't
it? This is so amazing, and I've been literally waiting the whole time we've been doing this podcast to talk about this. So exciting. Because...
It's not even dog-related or anything.
No, I know. Because they have had to call in an exorcist to the old set because it's haunted. And they haven't explained how it's haunted, which I feel is very disappointing, because there's not just one type of ghost, you know. There's all different types of ghosts. Like, is it poltergeist activity? Is it disembodied voices? Is it a spectre? Is it a ghostly smell or stench? They haven't explained that, so we're just going to have to kind of, like, assume ourselves. But yeah, an exorcist was called, according to The Mirror, and we know that tabloids in this country are one of the most reliable sources of information, of especially about soaps, especially when it comes to how much soap stars get paid.
And how haunted sets are.
And how haunted sets are. So, the Mirror has said that they were having rehearsals for the Granadaland rap party last weekend, and a tribute act refused to play, saying that they had experienced a ghostly presence while rehearsing. And the guy, the manager of Granadaland, Christopher Wandsworth, said, after a lot of back and forth and the ultimatum that unless something was done, the act would pull out, an exorcism was our last resort. Without acts, after all, we don't have a show. I know there have been numerous rumours over the years about paranormal happenings in the studios, and we know many put this down to their location. It's scary, but also exciting to think about the studios we spent so much time at preparing and rehearsing might actually be haunted.
This is so stupid.
I believe it 100%.
There have been rumours in the past, haven't there? Didn't they do a Most Haunted episode?
Yeah, they did.
The
and did Faye Brooks go or
something?
Wasn't
something
there
like
a lock-in or something like that?
Something like
that. Oh, I love ghost stories.
Yeah.
Well, I told you.
It's nice when it comes up every now and again.
Well, I love ghosts, and I told you, when I worked at the university, I used to be a cleaner, and I used to have to work there in after dark, and it was, well, half the year was obviously really dark, and I didn't turn all the lights on because I was lazy. And there was in the section I worked in, there was a whole room that had literally been exercised by the university by people whose jobs are to be super intelligent and
rational
thinkers and stuff, and they had hired a special expert in medieval exorcism to place special objects which have been buried under the floor in that room, are like spirit balls which got buried under the ground to try to suppress the spirit, because one of the hallways that I had to the stairwell that I had to clean supposedly had an apparition of a hanging man in it. I never saw a ghost, and I would have loved to have done. I never even got scared once working there, so I guess it worked. Proof.
Well, you can watch a video, a little short 15-second video of the exorcism going on at the old Granadaland studios, the Granada studios, can't you? Over on the Mirror's website, there's some guy inside the big hall saying, what's he saying? You don't belong here, you need to get out of here.
It was a bit weird.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't know how they do
exorcism. I didn't see him burying his balls in the ground.
No. I guess we use the word exorcism as like a general word, way of getting rid of ghosts. But yes. I thought it was just like a Catholic thing that only priests could do.
I don't know. Well, this wasn't one, was it? Didn't look like it anyway. Right, anyways, that's our news this week. We did go along to the set yesterday. Did we see any ghosts there?
You have to wait until episode
250.
Oh, yeah,
to
you
find
will.
Out.
You'll find out that we did.
Yeah. Right, let's finish off episode 249 with some feedback.
Feedback time.
I'm going to start off today, Gemma. Oh, okay. Are you raring to go with T-Ball's email there? I'm going to do it. my turn.
Tibor
says, even though Sally didn't go to the police, and she should have regarding that horrible heart in a box, if nothing else, Tim did get arrested after he caused a security upset at the town hall. I thought he was telling the police about things that were happening since they had originally called the police weeks ago. How come it took Rosie and Sophie to find out the address of the email into the Gazette this week and not the police? Well, as we know, the police are already tied up with old man falling down the stairs. And they've got no time for trolls escape murderers and things like that. Yeah. Like there's only two police officers that work for the Weatherfield Police at any one
Craig,
time.
Which is probably more of a, what's the word, detriment.
No, I'm sure he'd be an excellent copper when he finally gets the chance. I think it's weird that they had that thing. Like, it was almost a year ago that Craig was first started interested in being in police, isn't it? And it's
you can't just jump into being a police officer.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that. That's going to be a autumn story, isn't it? Really feel that Sally Denever, Tibor says, is putting in a powerhouse performance in this storyline. She's been really good, and so has Joe Duttine. I'm going with Sally as the character of the week. I want to know what's wrong with Johnny Connor, though. I suspect it will be something like Parkinson's disease.
He's got the clap.
You said that last week.
I know, but why would I say anything different? It's the truth.
Or MS, Tibor suggests. Will Jenny stick around if she's going to have a husband with an illness? I hope so. I don't want Jenny to be like, I don't want her to abandon him, because people are already very down on Jenny and saying she's a gold digger, and it's just going to make it look even worse if she
I really don't want her to abandon him, and I also do not want him to have anything too serious wrong with him, because I find it quite boring.
Gemma doesn't like illness storylines on Coronation.
I don't like illness storylines because I've gone through having family members with illnesses, and I find it depressing, and it brings me out of the suspension of disbelief.
Would you like a storyline where Leanne had a terminal illness?
Yes.
There's always the exception, isn't there? You put up with it.
No, just... I wouldn't. Honestly, I wouldn't. I just find it crushingly depressing.
Yeah. Well,
and
yeah,
also, the thing is, if Johnny Connor has got something like Parkinson's disease or anything that manifests itself continuously in a
over
physical
a long
way,
time.
They're not going to be able to keep him in the show, because it's just going to be too difficult for him.
Mm. Well, it's like Mike with his Alzheimer's, isn't it? That's the one that you don't die from Alzheimer's, but it can go on for years and years and years, and they have to then have him have pneumonia, which is what killed him off in the end.
And like, unless they're going to bring back the medical marijuana storyline.
Well, you never know, yeah.
Because I did watch a video of somebody that I think it was Parkinson's they had, and they had some medical marijuana, and it kind of stopped it.
Well, Izzy and Johnny do work in the same building, don't they? Yeah, and we haven't seen much of Izzy recently.
No,
so maybe
Izzy's been keeping her head down. I noticed that. What's she been getting up to when we haven't been watching her anything?
Well, it's going to turn out that she is, next time we see her, she's going to be the queen of the Weatherfield drug underworld, and she's going to be able to offer Johnny a little bit of relief, maybe. Tibor continues, I think part of the salary that the actors get is per episode. If you're in it a lot, like Jack Shepherd, you're going to get a higher income. Some of them, though, like senior members, probably do get a set salary with a minimum number of guaranteed appearances. That must be for the likes of Barbara Knox or whatever, because she's not in it loads, is she? If she was at the top of the salary list that was reported. From what I understand, they don't make money if they don't work. I think that's how it used to be anyway. When an actor's off screen for a month or two or three, they don't get paid. That kind of goes to explain why they have their side projects, doesn't it?
I believe that how it works is you get paid per episode, and you get told how many episodes is your minimum amount you're going to get. And if you work, say, 30 episodes and they told you you'd have 40, you still get paid for 40 episodes. But if you do 45 episodes, they have to pay you the extra amount.
Yeah, I reckon it must be something like that.
Well, I know that's what it's like.
Okay. As for Amy now being an official suspect, they could go that way, but I think that while Amy is quite a little madam, I don't think she's cold enough to whack her grandfather over the head and not show more signs of being upset afterwards. Even if it was an accidental struggle and fall, and his head injury is only from the fall, Amy would still be upset, especially with other members of the family being accused. I'm still going with the secondary character. Regarding this week's episodes, i.e. last week's episodes, Amy getting Adam arrested solely on the fingerprint evidence is very easily disproven, because Adam has been working on the kitchen. Oh no, this is this week's episode, isn't it? Adam's been working on the kitchen, and all the rest of the Barlows can testify to it. I think it was all set up so that Tracy is suspecting Adam, but Amy
Tracy's suspecting Amy, but Amy probably did it.
to deflect suspicions from my mum, and neither is revealing it to the other. Right, okay, so...
No, this is what happened with the... What I thought happened with the worktops, maybe I'm wrong, is that there are two worktops, and Adam has... Everyone's touched the second one, which is now in place in the kitchen.
Yeah, and I don't...
So, Pat put in the wrong worktop, and that original worktop was removed the day that Ken was attacked. Or the day after, I can't remember. But basically, that worktop was around before Adam got there and was removed before he arrived. So if Adam's fingerprints are on the original worktop, it proves that he was lying about whether he was there or not, because there's no way he could have touched the original worktop unless he was in the Barlow's house before Ken was attacked. Because that he only arrived officially after Ken had been taken to the hospital.
Yeah, I can't believe that Amy would think, well, Adam's fingerprints are on the current worktop, therefore he must have done it, because he's been the one that... didn't he finish off the kitchen?
Yeah, we've seen him working in the kitchen, that's the trouble.
Obviously his fingers are going to be on that.
Everyone's fingerprints are going to be on it, because the Barlow's have been crawling all over the house.
And also, Tivor says she doesn't mind being called Common or one of the Three Witches. Mind you, though, being one of the Three Witches does kind of make me a bit less common, doesn't it?
That's the thing, being a witch makes you awesome.
Yeah, very true.
Okay, Rebecca's email, she says... Oh, thank you, Tivor.
Thank you, Tivor, yeah. Of course.
Rebecca's email says, an okay week on the street, not as good as previous weeks, but still some good moments. The heart that Sally was sent was disgusting, and whoever is trolling her must either be heartless or have some serious psychological problems. I also agree with you two about how Tim reacted, but I did enjoy Sophie and Rosie's scenes, especially on Friday's episodes. Like Michael, I have an idea who the troll is, but can't say, due to spoilers.
We all know.
I think we all know it's Rob.
Shut up, that's not...
Rebecca says, the sooner Toya gets pregnant by IVF, the better. I do want her and Peter to have a baby, but dragging it out is starting to annoy me.
I thought that they were supposed to be having a meeting with somebody about it on Wednesday, but then that never...
Oh, well, you were sitting through the whole episode going, oh, I can't wait for this meeting about fertility.
Yeah, maybe we've got that to look forward to on Friday.
Brilliant. Rebecca says, I don't really know what's wrong with Johnny, but I was so on Team Jenny regarding her and Michelle. I don't even mind her going a bit crazy over the wedding, as she wants the best wedding she can get.
Exactly.
She says, as much as I don't mind Robert and Michelle as separate characters, and even though the relationship was going to happen, both Robert and Michelle really annoyed me on Friday, and I hope they don't take over the Rovers. Stick to the bistro, please, and be the landlord and landlady over there, or whatever it is at the bistro.
Owner, what is it? Manager.
Proprietor.
Exactly.
MD. MD of the bistro. Yeah, I think it would be quite cool if we had like a mini feud between Robert and Michelle versus Liz and Steve at the... But we've had that before, haven't we? We had a bit of a rivalry between
Bistro and Rovers. Yeah, and when they set up the Bistro, they were saying, well, you're going to take away our custom from the Rovers. But
well,
that's never really happened, has it?
It never happened because they serve food in the Bistro and they only serve hot pot in the Rovers.
And they have different level of clientele.
They do. Yes. So she says, I quite enjoyed the David and Maria scenes and just glad the winding up is now over with now. The winding up is now over with for now, maybe. However, love David getting David the dog and him giving Anna the money he was given. I didn't like him giving his money away. But it was easy come, easy go, wasn't it?
Exactly. He got a dog out of it.
Would
you rather have a dog? Would you rather have £19,000?
I'd buy a dog with £19,000. I'd buy a really, really good dog. I would buy one of those massive designer Chinese dogs. Have you seen them? They're the most expensive dogs in the world. And they're literally like mini horses. A giant.
I would not like a giant dog.
I don't think we could fit a giant dog in our house. I think there are literally places in our house where it couldn't turn around.
It'd scare Simba off though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would teach him to pee on things. Rebecca says... Character of the week for me is Sally, and I'm going to give it 3 disgusting scent hearts out of 5.
Thank you, Rebecca, and I am going to finish off episode 249 with messages from Morgan, who says, so, is it at all possible Amy Barlow is the Ken Basherinner? I'm thinking maybe, but there's a web of contradiction around that he does and he doesn't discount her. I'm sure it wasn't Chloe DeVille because KDO has been good with tying everything up, and if it is a disposable antagonist, which Chloe is, I wouldn't be happy.
Neither would I.
No, Oh, ring out the bells, boys and girls, Michelle and Robert are together. I'm so pleased for them. I am, of course, lying, acting skills unrivaled to you in the Dirk section. I must confess, I amuse myself by singing, and we could... I'm not going to sing this. And we could build this thing together, standing strong forever, la 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 la, during the little Steve and Michelle jaunt, where he advertised the concept of marriage counselling to her. Rosa and Surfer on the case was pretty funny, and the egg scene was really good. I'm sure that Rosa has the wits to outsmart Sally's troll. I liked the drama, intrigue, theatre of the heart in the box. But who do you think the troll is, Michael? I'm not telling you, Morgan, but when it happens next week, I'll say...
I knew it all along.
I was right. The David saga was hilarious, and the little dog was so adorable. I want him to stay in the series forever.
Yes.
And like the Bubbles breeding programme, I want him to live on forever too.
Well, the thing is, it is entirely possible to make an army of very similar looking Yorkshire Terriers.
They did it with Daryl the Rat, didn't they? They suddenly realised, we better kill him off. How long did little dogs like that live?
They're longer than big dogs.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Although we don't know how old David is, do we?
David looks to me to be in mid-four.
Mid-fours,
would you say?
Okay.
I don't know.
I was on tenterhook, something which shocked me because my heart is robust and cold and chilly during the Faye and Phelan court antics. And call Lummy, wouldn't it be hilarious if Jim McDonald turns up in Seb's prison scenes? If so, I'll actually cry actual tears of joy. Were they at a Young Offenders Institute?
Yes.
It wasn't a normal prison.
We did go on and call it a prison all the time, but it's not.
Yeah, so look, sadly we're not going to see any gym.
Yorkshire Terriers live 13 to 16 years.
Oh,
and they're hypoallergenic.
Oh no. There we go. Anyway, talking of prisons...
Non-shedding dog.
Talking of prisons, throw Chloe Moneybags in strange ways, even if she isn't the Barlow Basher, which I'm sure she isn't.
Has anyone got a spare dog?
That's right, Gemma's off on one there. I'm rating last week 3 out of 5 doggy fringes.
That's so cute.
Character of the week is Sally. So okay, 3 for 3, you voted Sally's character of the week last week.
Oh yeah, good. Well, she should win the award for the best soap actress.
I'd love it.
But guess what? It's all a fix and it's rubbish.
It's not.
Have they still got some more awards to nominate?
There's millions of other awards. They just haven't released the long list because they're ones that are judged by a panel. So it's certainly possible that...
How can we get on this panel? They need somebody with a little bit of...
I think we're a little bit biased.
No, they need somebody with a bit of, you know, like... not going to suck up to people like all these toadies do.
I think we would, though.
No.
We'd suck up to the Corrie people.
No.
Then we get our own personal preference for the rest. Right, that is it for episode 249. Of Conversations.
You won't have long to wait.
Exactly. So it's Thursday now. We're going to hopefully try and get this up ASAP. And then Saturday is the plan for getting episode 250. It should be a good one, where we recount our trip to Manchester. And of course, our little behind the scenes tour of the Coronation Street set, which was absolutely amazing and wonderful. And thank you to everyone involved who helped us go along to it. But yeah, just to wait a little bit longer. But it is worth it, I hope. And if you want to get any messages of congratulations for us to be reaching 250, you can do.
You want to give some awards? Don't bother.
Give us a 250 award.
Don't bother.
Right, give it to me then. I'll have it. Just say to Michael, here's have an award
for being
the best
podcast. And
then see how jealous Gemma is.
No, I don't care.
Right. If you'd like to contact us in the next couple of days, Conversation
Street. I only accept Oscars.
Shut up.
I want an Oscar, but I don't see how it's going to happen.
conversationstreet@gmail.com is our address, or you can write to conversationstreet.podbean.com, where we've got a little blog where you can put some posts on there.
Send us a message. How did that person, somebody sent us a message?
Somebody, yeah, we have got, here's a preview, we've got a message for episode
250. We're not going to reveal the name of the person.
He's our current favourite feedbacker for next week already.
Yeah, how about that?
Episode.
It's all a competition.
He sent it to us via Facebook, but you can send us a Facebook message or a Skype message or whatever, really, if you want to get your voice on the same podcast as maybe another Coronation Street star.
Yeah, exactly. And then everyone will be
listening
to it.
You'd share airspace with them. Exactly.
You'll be famous.
Yeah. Like us. If you want to follow us on Twitter, if you don't do already, we're at Conversation Stew, and we have got a Facebook page that you can join in as well. And we're not going to read out all the comments that have been on our Facebook this week, but there's been absolutely loads. It's been really nice having everyone get together to chat about things.
Yeah, it has been because we've had interesting things.
Yeah, all our photos from our trip. It's been a proper little community this week. It's been brilliant. Right, that's it from me, that's it from her. So listen out, we'll be back with you in a couple of days' time. See you then. The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.